Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another week of Star Wars News. I'm Seb Sabraya, aka Chewbacca's long-lost daughter. And I'm here with my co-pilot, my favorite person on Earth, Ryan Nilsson, head of Popcorn Talk.
Thank you so much, Steph. It has been such an incredible week of Star Wars News. Oh my gosh. But it's been a long week. I think we're in week 9 of quarantine, and it's just been Mandalorian, Mandalorian, Mandalorian. How are you doing?
Good. I was actually thinking it is nice because I'm actually in pajamas. I just put on a little bit of makeup, and that is the one plus about doing shows that are from home.
This is the way. That's what I'll say.
This is the way. Also, Rye is the absolute tits because Rye got me a, he dropped off when I was in LA. Yeah, we should have had them. We'll bring them next time. He got me a mask that he also has with Baby Yoda on it. It's so cute.
Now, Baby Yoda face mask for protection. Got it on Etsy. Really cool.
Yes.
Yeah. So I was happy to share that, Ms. Steph Sabra. I was also going to say shout out to the live chat, guys. Thank you so much for tuning into us. I'll be shouting you out the whole show. Throw in your comments down there. What do you think of all this amazing news that we're covering throughout the day? Shout out to the live chat.
Shout out. Also, fun week because Ryan and I actually disagree on our first topic of the week, and I love when we disagree because it doesn't happen a lot, but when it does, it's pretty like opposite sides of the spectrum. So obviously they're in the Mandalorian season 1 in the Gunslinger episode. We did think during our after show that that was Boba Fett because it was the same sound of his boots as Empire Strikes Back, I think, was the scene that we heard.
I actually thought it was someone else. I actually checked the tape.
Did?
Yeah, I thought it was Cad Bane, who is he's a character from the Clone Wars, and there's a lot of Clone Wars news in relation to the Mandalorian this week. But I thought it was a different bounty hunter, and it's still not confirmed that that is the bounty hunter that was at the end of that episode, but we could probably, might be safe.
Yeah, okay, so here's the thing I keep going back and forth with. So obviously we have Temuera Morrison, who's reprising his role as Boba Fett.
Crazy
news. Yeah, that was insane because there's already been the addition of Ahsoka, but nothing's been truly, truly confirmed or any solid facts of what their role is going to be like. So I thought maybe if he was coming back as Boba Fett, I'd be okay with flashbacks of him. I don't love the idea of him coming back from the Sarlacc pit.
Now, why is that?
Okay, because I just think that is just...
You think he's lazy?
I think it's lazy, and in canon, it's never happened before. I know in Star Wars Legends, I believe, that it's happened a few times. I just think it's like, bro, this guy literally got taken by this gross pit, and you expect me to just think he's going to jump out and be cool?
Oh my gosh. I hear you. I hear you. But first of all, incredible news. Temuera Morrison.
Yeah.
This is the guy.
Yeah, I love him. I mean, I love him.
This is amazing. I had hoped that he was going to be announced for Mandalorian season 2 to reprise his role as Rex because, you know, this is the guy who played Jango Fett in Attack of the Clones. This is the guy that they cloned the entire clone army after, which was Jango Fett, and he even cloned his son, which was revealed in Attack of the Clones, as Boba Fett. And he said, "Hey, you can clone me. Use my physique as your clone army model. But give me a son and have him age normally, not twice the speed." So we know that his son will grow up to look just like him, so it makes sense that he would reprise his role as a Fett, but this time it's Boba. I'm really excited about that. I buy it. There were rumors that there were some video games that kind of alluded to, like, oh, maybe he flew out, maybe he got out. I'm into it, but you can't get over the Sarlacc pit, can you?
No, I can't, but I totally see the possibility of him coming back as Captain, or as him playing Captain Rex. That makes sense to me, and I think that would be really, really cool, especially with Ahsoka. That just makes more sense. The reason I don't think it's just a flashback with Boba Fett is because of that scene with Fennec Shan.
Right, and I think our Mandalorian co-host, Christian Blatt, also host of Marvel Movie News, that's earlier on Thursday mornings, he tweeted out with a hot take saying he thinks Boba Fett's just going to appear in a flashback, a Mandalorian flashback, which I just don't see that happening.
Neither do I.
They were so sparse with the flashbacks last season, and I don't know if there's much story to reveal other than that Night of a Thousand Tears, I think it was referred to. I think that's what Gideon referred to it as. There's some reason yeah. Gideon has that saber. They might flash back to that, but I think that I'd be a little disappointed if that's all we got for Boba Fett.
If you're going to do it, just do it. I don't think it's a flashback either, especially because that gunslinger scene, I think, is Boba Fett, and I think that was really, really deliberate, and I don't know. It could be what your theory is of who you think it is, but to me, that's kind of just solidifying that that was Boba.
So would you? You don't want it. You think it's weird if he was able to survive?
Yeah. This is also the thing, right? I love that the Mandalorian kind of did something new and outside of the Skywalker story that we've seen. And I think that's why people loved it so much. And so when you keep throwing back all these characters that we've grown attachments to, it just seems like an easy route for you to be like, you will love this because you already love these characters.
Mm. I agree with that. Yeah, I think it's an easy route, but I also think it makes sense. One thing that the Clone Wars did so well was they fixed a lot of aspects of the prequels. And yeah, there might have been some quote-unquote retconning, but I don't think it's retconning in terms of, like, this is lazy, we're just going to take it back. I think they made it work, and they made the overall story a little bit more interesting. With this one, I think one of the biggest critiques of Return of the Jedi is how Boba Fett goes out. Like, he gets accidentally knocked on his back in his jetpack, and he just falls in. And it's funny.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily need anything more than that. But I think it's a really cool idea if he climbed out and survived. Like, what would he be up to?
I just think that when that movie was made, it was intended that he was dead. And so it would be different if, like, there was a scene where we see someone, like, crawling out or jetpacking out, but there wasn't at all. So it was just going against what the intention was originally, which I don't always hate when they do that, because something should be changed, I guess, if you have the freedom to do it. But that, I don't know. I'm going to be excited. I like the actor, and I think they'll do something fine with it. I'm not obsessed with that idea at all.
Yeah, from what I'm getting, you're psyched at the actor's return, but you're not psyched about Boba Fett. And I think it would make sense for him to also return as Captain Rex, which they haven't announced that yet. But the fact that Ahsoka Tano's in this show, and we know that Rex is with Ahsoka Tano, I think that'd be pretty epic. It would also give that actor, Temara Morrison, the opportunity to play two characters, different ages, different storylines. Like, how awesome would that be? We haven't really seen that in Star Wars, where you get two actors playing the same person.
Yeah, and I do think that would be dope, because I think a lot of people don't, I think if you're not a really, really diehard fan, the whole clone situation in all the movies is a little bit confusing. Like, you could totally, I bet you my sister, who watches the movies and likes them but isn't, like, a serious fan, doesn't really get the whole cloning process and why Rex would look like Boba Fett and all of that. So I think it would be interesting to the normal viewer.
It would flesh it out a little more. I think it would it would connect the prequels in a really cool way and tie it all together. Because I remember people were mad about the reveal that Boba Fett ended up being a clone. Like, he's Jango Fett's son, but I think they were just mad, like, oh, it's the same guy. And, you know, George Lucas even went back when he re-edited Empire Strikes Back to change the voice to make it sound just like it's Tamara Morrison's voice. So I think it's cool. I can't wait to see what they do with it. Do you think it's going to be like one episode, or do you think he's going to have a presence throughout?
I think it's going to be, it might be multiple episodes, but not a big character. Kind of just looping in plot holes, but yeah. I don't know, maybe. But we do, there. It's the Godfather's birthday, George Lucas. We almost forgot.
We almost forgot.
Happy birthday.
Dude, we just did a huge tribute on the Popcorn Talk Network Instagram, just shouting the master out, and just a bunch of thank yous, really. Like, we can't, it's sad because I feel like we can't give him anything comparable to what he's given us. And just, like, thank you for creating this universe, creating these characters, sharing these stories, sharing the characters with other creators, and ultimately making movies and dreaming.
Yeah, $1 billion would be nice. That is a nice way of saying thank you, because we have made the man very, very wealthy. Yeah. But it's true, his mind is amazing. There's very few people on earth creatively who's going to be able to do what he has done.
There is no Star Wars. There is no show. There's no Mandalorian without him. He is the reason we have all of this. And it's just amazing to think, like, this one guy. People just think, oh, he came up with A New Hope and these characters. But the dude has come up with everything. And he's also moved just film in general legions beyond. He's pathed the way. He's pioneered filmmaking with visual effects, with models. The dude has done so much for film. He's just, happy birthday, man.
Yeah, in comics and everything. So it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, shout out.
This is other exciting news. Katie Sackhoff is rumored to be playing action Mandalorian Bo-Katan in season 2, which is really exciting. I know that obviously you have probably more to say about this from the animated series.
Yeah, sorry. I'm just seeing right now on Twitter. Apparently, like, YouTube is down right now.
No way.
I think we're still streaming, but, like, I've tried to go on to the chat and everything, and a lot of it's just down. So, unfortunately, I don't know if we're going to have much of a live chat this episode, just giving, like, a quick update. Our stream seems to be completely fine, but, yeah, everyone's tweeting about it. Like, YouTube is just down right now. So, it's just Steph and I talking.
Wow.
Katie Sackhoff, yeah. Speaking of Katie Sackhoff, dude, I have so much to say.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
I mean, first of all, when you talk about a modern day Linda Hamilton, yeah, I'm bringing in Terminator. She is a badass, and all the characters she has played have been badasses. And what I think is so awesome about this news is she voiced Bo-Katan in the Clone Wars. So they're giving that voice actor performance to her. Now she can play it in live action. She was in Battlestar Galactica, Starbuck. She was in Longmire. She was in the Riddick movies with Maria Menounos's really good friend Vin Diesel. I think this is awesome news. It's a no-brainer. I want the big question though, Steph, is some people think she is the armorer from Mandalorian season 1, like the other Mandalorian that was crafting the armor. They think that might low key be Bo-Katan. It was a different actress season 1, but they think that might end up being, because they never really gave a name to that character. So that's an option. What's really cool about her character, just for those who might not know, in the Clone Wars, her character, Bo-Katan's sister, was the Duchess, the Queen of Mandalore, and was tragically killed, and then she helped in this final episodes of Clone Wars that just came out with the Siege of Mandalore. So she is acquainted with Ahsoka Tano. She knows all these people. So Ahsoka's, we already know, is going to be popping up this season. Now we know that Bo-Katan is as well. I'm just all the more hyped that Katie Sackhoff's playing her.
Yeah, me too. I think that she's going to be really, she's just so dope. And I think so that this dope role will be so cool. Did make me think about Ashley Eckstein and her not being Ahsoka Tano. I thought that was,
yeah.
I mean, it just sometimes doesn't work out like that.
Well, it's an interesting topic to bring up. I think the big difference is Ashley Eckstein is way more of a straight up voice actress, and Katie Sackhoff it's actually unusual for her to be doing a lot of voice acting. So she's done far more on screen, and she has the physical presence. Like she's done a lot of these combat roles. So I think it's quite fascinating. It's just a really inspired pick, and I wonder how long they thought about this, about incorporating her into a live action series, because it's a really cool role. Like she is a badass in the show. She's a badass in real life, and she's actually been tweeting out a lot of her quarantine workout routines over the past couple weeks, which are really cool. And she goes like really in depth. It's not like a reel. She actually like shows what she's up to with the trainer and everything. So she's legit. And the idea that they already filmed it and everything, like it's already in the can. We're going to see her come October.
I know. Yeah. I think that's a great point, Rye, because it's true that voice acting requires just as much skill as an actor to do it properly. But the only difference is that the physicality oftentimes does not match the character that the actor is portraying.
Yeah. That's a great point as well. I'm just so hyped. Like we're tying in so many things from the Clone Wars to this next season of The Mandalorian. Like we got, we got Boba Fett, we got Bo-Katan, and there's just a ton of... We got Ahsoka Tano. I could not be more excited. There's all these jokes going around on just the Star Wars Twitter this week. Like, they're going to announce a show with no one pretty soon, because it feels like they're just saying everyone. Everyone's in this.
Yeah.
It's all going down.
So true. Speaking of conversations on Twitter about Star Wars, there was a clip from the gallery, The Mandalorian on Disney Plus, of Dave Filoni talking about episode one and kind of how obviously there's obvious controversy of how people perceive that movie, and in particular Anakin.
No.
And he was talking about how Qui-Gon was the father figure for Anakin, and his death was kind of what set Anakin on the path that he was. And Obi-Wan was just a brother figure to him. And then explain what the debate was on Twitter. How did the rest ensue, right?
Yeah, so essentially this is what happened. First off, there's that Mandalorian docuseries going on Disney Plus, like you just said. And a bunch of people on Twitter, including someone who's in our YouTube space, Adam Havlak, said, well, everyone was too busy criticizing Jar Jar and focusing on like some visual effects criticisms, they were missing some deep underlying themes throughout the whole movie. And attaching that clip went viral. Like that spread like wildfire. Everyone was sharing that and all about that. And then there was some opposing viewpoints, including some critics like Scott Mendelson saying, what happened to film analysis? Like, yeah, that's always been there. Like, haven't you guys always seen that? Like, I've always been aware that you can have these interesting points in a movie, it could still be bad. So the debate became like, hey, some people actually didn't really see that before, and hearing Dave Filoni talk about it made them rethink the movie a little, whereas this guy's kind of raining on their parade. And it's not just him, it was a few other people. But it's an interesting debate. Like, have you ever thought about Phantom Menace like that?
Yeah, I feel like Qui-Gon was put in the father role since he took Anakin from in the first place, because you know Anakin is now saying bye to his mom, which is his only like true family left. So I guess I saw that. I like episode one. A lot of people don't, and I totally get why you wouldn't, because I think if you're a critic and at his level, because I do know how talented he is, it makes sense. I get the controversy and the complaints and the critiques of all of episode one, two, and three, but I also don't really care, because I'm like a viewer who's like, I like it or I don't, and I just want to enjoy myself, so I do.
Well, Steph, let me throw this at you. So one thing that really stuck out to me in that little clip there was him just talking about how Qui-Gon was a very different Jedi from the rest.
Oh, yeah.
Which I never had thought about it like that. Like, I knew Qui-Gon, he's a master, obviously, like, trained Obi-Wan. But I never thought of Qui-Gon Jinn until Dave Filoni so elegantly spoke about him. I never really realized, like, yeah, Qui-Gon was... He's an older Jedi, and he was kind of one of the last guys that was a master before this whole war broke out, before the Clone War broke out. And Even in episode two, Yoda kind of realizes like the majority of the Jedi are just now these warriors. They're battle, they're soldiers, and they've kind of lost that old way. And it's interesting because in the Clone Wars, that's one of the reasons Ahsoka Tano leaves the Order is because she thinks the Jedi have kind of lost their way a little bit. So to think Qui-Gon was one of these last Jedi that had the way, it's really fascinating.
I agree completely. I love Qui-Gon, and I think that in hindsight, it's like you were presented the dark side and the good light side. So like it was hard. You obviously voted for all of the Jedis and loved them all, but you didn't really think about like they were really annoying.
Steph, there is a guy behind you. There's a guy behind you.
It's Dad.
Okay. I was a little worried for a second.
Oh my god, that's how you would warn me? If there was actually someone about to choke me out or kill me, you would just say, Seth, there's a guy behind you.
Steph, there was just a guy standing behind you, and I was like...
He's like 400 feet away and outside.
Okay, he moved, but for a second he was just kind of like... I'm telling you, like, if you look at the playback, there was... I'm sorry that's how I told you, but I just had to point it out.
It's okay, Raya. Thanks for being concerned.
Sorry to interrupt.
I was saying that the Jedi, low-key, were very annoying. Mm. Like, Mace, Yoda, even at times, Obi-Wan at times, were so annoying. For the reason, like, I disagree a lot with Anakin because he was just, like, wild for most of it. But I do see the qualities in you that you're like, you're not much better than the dark side because you're being so controlling and so military, like militant, that I understand that. And that's why I do like Qui-Gon. And I do think that he brought that idea into plain view in a way I haven't thought about before.
Yeah, and it's just so typical Star Wars. Like anything you bring up, like it's just going to have this real drastic opposing opinions, even if it's just someone... identifying a theme that wasn't really obvious to a lot of people. But yeah, I like the clip, and I'm digging that this documentary series, and I can't wait for the rest. I think we got like 7 left. Not 7, 5 left.
I know, I started the second episode, but I didn't get to finish it yet.
Yeah, I can't wait. What else we got, Steph?
And then also, the man that talking about bringing everyone back for season 2 and 3, they're going to bring back an original Star Wars VFX producer. Let me get his name.
Well, what's cool?
Phil Tippett.
Phil Tippett, that's right. Yeah,
what
mean,
were you saying?
I think they might have announced like, oh yeah, we got season 3, like that. It's been greenlit, but the idea that they're already writing, like they're already producing, they're already getting the team together, they're really on top of it. I could not be more excited.
Well, it's totally the time to write. And I was talking to Roxy Stryer about this. She's also a fellow popcorn talker. But we were talking about how it's the perfect time to write because we can't do anything else. So I bet you that they're having a bunch of Zoom writers meetings right now and just flushing it all out. It's really all they can do. And it's smart business, I think, because they can start rolling.
It's all they can do. But beyond writing, like this shows how they're really ahead of the game with this series because they're already getting the creatives together. Like I bet they're doing models, they're doing some storyboarding. They're so on top of it. And that's one thing that's been so comfortable about The Mandalorian ever since it was announced. It just feels like they're on top of it. Like every decision, confidence I have, there's been zero to no reports of like reshooting, which is not a bad thing, reshoots. It's just like they really have planned it out and mapped it out for a long period of time.
Reshooting does low-key suck, though.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not a killer, but it does show that something is a little bit off.
I think sometimes it can be good. I'm actually not as opposed to reshoots as a lot of people. I just think sometimes it's how late in the game. There's always some nuances to reshoots. If you just finished shooting and like day one of the editing room, oh, we're missing this, go back and shoot, cool. But if you're like a month out from release, you're testing things, they're not working, then it's like, okay, something, they didn't notice this until like really late. And that's where I get a little concerned.
Yeah. Oh, this is a story I don't really want to report on because it just seems obvious to me, but I feel like I have to. Mark Hamill had an interview with E! And he was saying how he won't return. He's just closing that chapter of returning to Star Wars because he's done it. And to me, I just feel like it's such an easy question for reporters to ask because obviously it will get press, but I wouldn't necessarily, if the Skywalker series saga is over, why would he return? And I just feel like as an actor, he needs to be doing other stuff, like in The Shadows, which he just got introduced as a new character in.
Oh yeah, What We Do. That's right.
What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah, it's, he wrote a love letter to Star Wars a few weeks back about like saying thank you. I think that was when the Blu-ray came out. And I thought that was really cool, really sincere goodbye.
Me too.
I think I thought this was rather obvious as well. I'm still assuming if there's like a voice acting role in an animated show, he would maybe return or for maybe a cameo here and there. Like I although this sounds like he's not even into the cameoing as Luke Skywalker anymore, which again, no, I don't blame him, but I kind of like that if occasion arised.
Yeah, I guess. I think the MCU does a really good job of dabbing in characters and different storylines in their different individual films. I just feel like, I don't know. I would be definitely okay with it. I love the guy. Are you kidding me? But I totally am fine with him not doing any more of that.
Yeah. There's no even dues to pay anymore. He's done so much for a galaxy far, far away. I think it'd be really cool though if he did continue just doing like some voice work with Star Wars, and you know he's the biggest fan. He's always gonna champion it. He was even talking about The Mandalorian this week and Boba Fett coming back. Like, he's the best.
What'd he say?
I mean, he said, I actually have the quote right here. He said, "I thought he was a decade into getting digested at this point. There's so many ways they can go, and Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni are both the right people for the job. They know it better than I do," which is the biggest praise you could get.
Yeah. Also, Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni are just all stars.
Jeez. True all stars, for sure.
Should we talk about some of these rumors going around?
I wish we had our Rumor Has It sound effect.
Me too.
From Adele, who's posting a lot on Instagram lately.
Yes, Adele, we see you.
We see you.
I've always been an Adele fan. She is a queen.
Rumor has it.
What are our rumors? So, Alistar Petri is rumored to reprise his role as Davit's Draven alongside Jimmy Smits as Bail Organa, according to Bespin Bulletin in the Cassian Andor series. That would be pretty cool. We obviously know that Bail Organa showed up in Rogue One. It would make sense. It would be cool to see them.
I would love to see Jimmy Smith's return. I still feel like we haven't gotten the most out of that character that we need. Like, I feel like we haven't gotten that big like bite size storyline from Bail Organa quite.
Yeah,
because he's in like a little bit of Revenge of the Sith, and he's in a little bit of Attack of the Clones. But you have this idea that, like, this is the guy who raised Leia. Like, this is the guy who was helping with the rebellion all between 3 and 4. And yeah, I thought it was so cool when he popped up in Rogue One. He's popped up in a few books here and there. I think he's in the Ahsoka Tano book. I think this would be really cool. I kind of wish they were calling this the Organa series rather than the Cassian Andor. But this raises a question, Steph. If we get Bail Organa, does that mean we're going to get Leia Organa?
That'd be so cool.
Would you be into that? Like, do you think if they did a CG or they just casted a younger...
What, and have Billy?
Oh, you just want... Yes, that has to happen.
I'd be down for only Billy, and if she... Yeah, if that worked, I would be so into that.
Thing is, she's already a character, though, because she's in Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker as that... Like...
Haven't they done that before, though?
Well, they have. Yeah, they technically have. Like, they. Oh my gosh, I cannot believe I'm forgetting this guy's name. But it's the guy who plays R2-D2, and he also played Ewoks. I'm totally forgetting his name right now.
Oh
my gosh.
Oh my gosh, we did a story on him
Baker,
like 3 weeks ago.
With Kenny Baker, and then also. it's going to come to me, sorry. But he's played multiple characters. Oh, I know it. Warwick Davis, that's it. He was in Solo, and he's also played R2, and he's also played Ewoks. So they've done it before, but I don't think they've done it for, like, two human characters.
Face-to-face, yeah. Right. Yeah, so, I mean, I doubt it, regardless. But if they did, I would want her, because that just seems... First of all, they look exactly like. Second of all, she's an incredible actress in her own right. And third of all, that's the only way you can pay tribute to Princess Leia.
Dude, how cool would that be? I would love
that. I think they would do it only for this specific scenario, because you can't write this. You can't make this up. That would be the only time that I think fans would totally be okay and not really even question it. It would just be like, okay, of course you can do that. And that's how it should be if this character is going to be introduced.
Do you think, like, would you prefer, if that, well, now we're just going full on speculation here, but if you think, if they did that, would you prefer she has a cameo or, like, a recurring bit? I'm leaning
on cameo. It's Cassian Andor, it would be a cameo.
Yeah.
Because it's not about her.
Agreed.
But, I don't know, so maybe... But I doubt that. Another roommate is that Natalie Portman might reprise her role as Senator Padme, and or just a cameo. They don't really know, but I don't really see this happening either. I'm curious what your thoughts are.
First of all, this is like the most biggest rumor of rumors
ever. Yeah, this is such a rumor.
It's so vague. We have no idea. By the way, the chat's back up. I think YouTube's back up and running. So just shouting out some people. Jenna James, Yash, Manny. Both our Mannies. Eric, Z, thank you guys for sticking it out. We think YouTube was down, but we've been going live, and you'll be able to watch the whole thing in the archive. We're talking if... Natalie Portman reprised her role as Padme. I love Natalie Portman. I think she's easily one of the best actresses
Me
working.
Too.
There's a few things. So we actually had this author, E.K. Johnson, on. She wrote the Ahsoka book. I can never shut up about her. She just wrote two more Star Wars books since then that are both following Padme Amidala, pre-Phantom Menace. And so you could go that route, or you could have her pop up as like a memory. Maybe in your Obi-Wan series, if you're like, have a scene with Darth Vader, I'd be really interested in that. But other than that, we've kind of seen her story.
Yeah, she was a massive part of all three of those films. So I did, I think they did her character justice. And this rumor is, I feel like, purely based off the fact that Marvel is going to get her back in Love and Thunder.
Oh, great call.
So I just feel like it's like, oh, maybe she's reprising roles, and that would be awesome. She's going to be like the male Thor. Of course she would reprise that role. That's the sickest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Like, she's going to be the next Thor. Like, how cool is that? I think it's possible. That's what I'd say. It's like, I'm open to this possibility of her returning, but there's no way, unless they did a prequel before Phantom Menace, there's no way that she would be like a main character or have like a big role. I could see like a flashback and her popping up.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. The last rumor we already talked about would be the return of Captain Rex in The Mandalorian, because that has not been confirmed, but that would totally make sense.
It would make sense. I think they could again, Mandalorian's 5 years after Return of the Jedi. And this is a retcon, but Dave Filoni has gone back and said, I guess in the Battle of Endor, there's a rebel soldier who has this thick white beard and he's old. And he's gone, that's Rex, because that's how Rex looked in the Rebels show. So I think it'd be so funny to see Temuera Morrison in one scene. He's just got this thick white Santa beard and he's with Ahsoka Tano. And then another, he's all shredded up from the Sarlacc pit as Boba Fett. I think that'd be really cool.
The picture Dave Filoni originally tweeted that got everyone all hyped about the idea that Ahsoka Tano could reprise her role in this live action version.
It's his banner.
Was with the guy with the beard, which now we can kind of think that that was Captain Rex.
I think that was in his banner. That's definitely Rex in Ahsoka. It's just, is that him saying they're going to be in this?
Yeah. So I think that would be really, 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 I would be so into that. Actually, I think that's super dope and they should do that.
It'd be really cool. Are you at all worried, Steph, as someone who, like, I don't know if you've watched all of Rebels, but even there's a lot of people who haven't watched these animated shows. Do you think they are, do you think that they're going to, people might be confused if they haven't seen both of those? Or are you at all worried? Maybe it'll just inspire curiosity.
No. What they'll do, because they're geniuses and the whole team working with Mandalorian is geniuses, is they'll make sure that the character is written in a way where if you know them, then you feel like so happy and probably a little bit more connected to the characters initially. But if you don't know them and have no idea of their backstory, you'll understand what you need to know.
Ooh, yeah. And I think you could... It makes those animated shows, they stand on their own, but for this new content, it's like, hey, if you want to learn more about these characters, we already got two series about all of them, so
yeah,
go check them out.
I think it's a smart move too. That's a great point, Rye, that there's more incentive to include characters like this because it draws attention to where they came from originally in the franchise.
You're absolutely right. I think I'm only excited about it. I think it's only going to make more people go back and watch those shows.
Me too. So last on our things is just some toys and games that are out. So Hot Toys celebrates the end of Star Wars, The Clone Wars with a Captain Rex figure. It's actually really, really cool, but expensive. I think it was like $150 for this Clone Rex
price
character.
Right.
I wouldn't get it.
Yeah,
the price is right. Let me see. It's dope, though. It is really, really cool. I just wouldn't. I don't think I would, unless I was a millionaire. Would you get this?
Would I get it? It looks cool, guys. We'll have the link to this. Oh, there you go. Oh, God, that looks so awesome. Yeah. It's too expensive, though. I think I would love that as a gift if they sponsored us. Please send that. But, yeah, they've made Captain Rex, like, my favorite clone trooper. And I remember before the Clone Wars even came out, I was just like, who's this random guy they've added in? Like, they haven't mentioned this guy in the movies. What's going on here? And I've completely done a 180. He's my favorite. They made him such an awesome character in the show. And I really hope we get to finally see him in live action, like we're getting Ahsoka Tano. But I think the toy's great. The Star Wars toys are always amazing. And especially if it's like a Black Series or something like that. So, no, I wouldn't buy it, but it's definitely awesome. There's one thing I was going to mention to Steph that I actually saw this week. It's not on our rundown, though. Do you mind if I bring it up?
No.
Okay, I won't bring it. You
tell
do mind?
Me. I want to hear it. I don't mind.
Okay, here we go. So this week there was some Disney exec that got quoted. It's a Lucasfilm exec. He said, like, it doesn't matter. It's all fake anyway. And, like, people lost their minds over it. And a bunch of press outlets, including, like, the New York Post, were just like, can you believe this? He said this. It's like, yeah, it is fake. Like, why are people losing their minds over a guy saying it's fake anyway? Like, it causes huge
uproar. That's hilarious. I missed that.
They were asking him about just certain decisions in Rise of Skywalker, and he was like, "Listen, it's storytelling. It's fake anyway. Like we're just trying to tell interesting stories." And people got really pissed that he used the word fake, and like, yeah, it's a fantasy sci-fi show. Like, guys, chill out. I'm almost
that
more embarrassed.
Stuff cracks me up, Rye.
Yeah, it really does. It just shows the fandom can sometimes just be so crazy. His exact quote, this is Matt Martin, that's the name. It's all fake anyway, so you can choose to accept whatever you want as part of the story. Which I think he was just trying to cool everyone's jets who might not like certain storylines or other storylines more than others, but everyone lost their minds over this quote.
Yeah, I feel like I completely agree with his quote.
Yeah, and And just before that, to give him all the benefit of the doubt, he said, to summarize, there's a reason that we need to internally know what is and isn't canon. He's talking about Star Wars canon. So we can keep our line of official storytelling as aligned as possible. But it doesn't mean fans can't individually pick and choose what they accept as true. This is kind of what we were just talking about with the animated shows, you know?
Like, yeah.
You don't have to watch them.
No, yeah.
But you can if you want.
God, the fan bases are so toxic sometimes.
I know. You just got to have open arms. Accept it with open arms, people.
Yeah, I don't have the energy to be that angry about anything. Except for, like, awful humans, but...
And Boba Fett being alive, apparently.
I did not drag anyone. I just said I'd like to see the Sarlacc pit footage. Thank you. Right, okay, this one I'm really... So Star Wars Episode One Racer, the game, was originally released in 1999 on Nintendo Switch. The Nintendo Switch version was scheduled to arrive May 12th of this year.
2 days ago.
And the PS4 version was supposed to be May 26th, but both have been delayed because of coronavirus. I actually want to get a PS4 to play this game, though.
Yo, I have a PS4.
Really?
Yes, and Darth Vader's
on
it.
We have to play it.
We have to play it. They've been doing this a lot with some great games lately. They've been remastering a bunch of the old Star Wars games, and I think that I never played this one, to be honest. I wonder if anyone in our live chat has. But yeah, once it comes out, you gotta get a PS4, and we just gotta play this nonstop.
This might get me into gaming because I actually love racing things. I don't like killing. That's just so not in me. So I'm told, like, they should make a game that is the government part of Star Wars. So I want to be Padme or Leia as a general in deciding the leadership role, so I don't have to kill anyone.
Like,
I just
Risk.
Like,
you want?
Yes, I'm telling them what I'm giving them orders. I'm not killing anyone.
Whoa! So you don't want? You want to play a Star Wars game where there's no killing?
No, I would be okay with it happening because that happens. I just don't love, like, sneaking out to shoot people.
Yeah,
I don't play Call of Duty or any of those games because they're just – when I see people really get into killing people, like Grand Theft Auto, when people just go out of their way to hit strippers on the side of the road, I think something's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that for fun.
I'll tell you, though – But yeah, you're right. So this game's probably right up your alley because it's a racing game. It's a good change of pace for the majority of the Star Wars games that are out. Almost like a Mario Kart for Star Wars. I haven't played this. I'm really curious to hear other people who have and if this is interesting to them. They were announcing a ton of games that are being remastered. Like, I think Tony Hawk, Escape 1 and 2.
I played
that
game.
Yeah, I played that as well. So, yeah, it's really exciting. I personally love all Star Wars games, and I would lose my mind if they made a Star Wars Grand Theft Auto. I think that would be... You probably wouldn't see me for a month. I would just play that nonstop, open world. Oh,
Grand
my God.
Theft Auto is awful.
Guys, I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry. I know every dude plays Grand Theft Auto, and I just think it really says something about you.
Wow.
And I know that... I know because everyone plays it, so I'm being... super kind of psycho about it. I think if you play it and you're just doing the business part of it, sure, but every time I watch people play it, they go out of their way to be very violent because that's what the game lets you do.
Eon 001 in the chat saying Steph wants Star Wars Animal Crossing. I ain't mad though. I agree. I think that's what you want. You just want to build things peaceful, live your life. But guess what?
Yes.
There's an empire out there, and that's just not the reality.
Star Wars times Animal Crossing. Make it happen.
Steph, I think we're out of time.
I know we are. But everyone in the chat, thank you so much for rocking with us. We're live every Thursday, 4 p.m. PST on the Popcorn Talk. Until next week, Rye, where can everyone find you?
Hopefully YouTube isn't down next week for half the show. But you can find me at Ryan Nilsen, R-Y-N-I-L-S-E-N, on Twitter, and at Ryan Nilsen on Instagram. Geeking out about all Star Wars all the time, all the movies, playing video games, and I am playing Jedi Fallen Order right now, which is the good Star Wars game out, which we had a voice actor in. You can go watch that show in the archives. Steph, where can people find you?
You can find me all over social media at Steph Sabra, on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/StephSabra, and we'll be back next week. And until then, may the force be with you all.
Happy birthday, George.
Yes.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.